there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for Today.
We have a really lengthy reading today, and I was wrestling with this, and I just don't know how to cut this up. It's Peter's first sermon after the event that happened in the upper room and the Holy Spirit descended on Pentecost. And so this reading I'm going to do today is going to go from the second chapter, verse 14 to 41. Peter is out on the rooftop, and there's some 3,000 people in and around him in Jerusalem. And he gives the very first gospel sermon after Christ ascended and rose into heaven. Hear now the word of God. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to the crowd, "Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bondslaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says of him, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. And so, brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ. And he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Christ. Yes, this Jesus whom you crucified, Now, when the crowd heard this, they were pierced to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." And with many other words, Peter solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us, Lord. We know that you are. Help our hearts recognize you. Help us to see you for who you are. That you give us guidance, that you give us wisdom and knowledge of the passages of Scripture. You give us remembrance if we look toward you and see you. You are there with us. We ask you to be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This past week, I was gone. I took a flight to Tacoma, Washington, to visit an emerging church, I guess you would call it, a different way of doing church altogether. It's called Soma Tacoma, Soma, S-O-M-A, which in Greek means body, as in body of Christ, the church. If you Google it online, you'll see what they're all about, quite different. They don't have a church building at all. They are out in and around the public, acting out and living their Christian life among people. Then from there, we went to San Diego. And in San Diego, our denomination had a theological conference. And so we spent 2 days in the conference discussing theology and discussing, we have a statement of faith and essential tenets in the ECO that we who are covenant partners ascribe to. And so we discussed what confessions we should have and adhere to underneath all that. Anyway, a lot of deep theological discussion. But as I was in Tacoma, Washington, looking at the church, and as I was in San Diego looking at theology, I couldn't help but think of Peter's first sermon. Because it was filled with a deep theology as this fledgling church 2,000 years ago was birthed. And so, continuing our sermon on Peter, when you consider Peter, we've been studying Peter all the way through his life. And so now we're at this point where we have Jesus who is ascending into heaven in the first chapter of Acts, and he tells them, "You're going to be my witnesses," right, "in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the world. And I will send the counselor to you, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to go and wait for that to happen." So 10 days later, they're in the upper room, and it's Pentecost. And what happens is the wind's blowing through, but it's not windy outside, but it seems like the power of the wind's blowing through this room, and they see tongues of fire, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them and in them. And they're just reacting in such a way, I mean, just like that song that we sang, that soul on fire song. They were acting in such a way that their soul was on fire, and they couldn't help but to proclaim and to spread out. And people heard this. Pentecost was one of the three feasts that Jews had to go to Jerusalem, and had to, but were encouraged to go to Jerusalem to celebrate. And so Jews from all over the area would come in, and it's estimated that the crowds could have been anywhere from 100 to 200,000 in this small area. And they pitched tents, you know, everywhere around and to gather together, and then would come in. And so you would have had a lot of people there that would have seen something going on in this room and people being on the rooftops of this room and, you know, professing and screaming, and everybody's hearing them in their own tongues. So everyone is hearing what these apostles and disciples are saying after the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in their own language. So if they're from Italy all the way over to modern-day Turkey and around to Syria and over to northern Africa, whoever the Jews were that came to celebrate Pentecost, heard them in their individual language. And so you have some people saying, what's going on here? This is crazy. What's happening? These guys are all drunk, you know, making kind of a joke about it. It was early in the morning. And Peter comes out and gives his first sermon. Now, considering what we had talked about in the previous sermons about Peter, we got to remember that Peter was this arrogant guy, yet he was humble. He was self-focused so many times, but yet he was also God-focused. He was afraid in periods of time, and yet he was fearless. He was faithless, and he was faithful in different periods in his walk with Christ over that 3.5 years. He was allegiant to Christ. He ended up denying Christ. He was restored to Christ. And this chief apostle, now think of it, 50 days after Christ's death and resurrection, 10 days after Christ's ascension into heaven, he's witnessing all of this. He has been with Jesus roughly 3.5 years. And he's huddled in this upper room in Jerusalem with other disciples. And this miraculous power of the Holy Spirit comes down upon them. And because of that sermon that Peter gave, the church was birthed all by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we look at Peter's sermon, it could be broken up in four ways. There is an affirmation of prophecy. Remember, he's speaking to Jews, so he's looking at the Old Testament, and he's affirming, he's telling them, okay, this is what's in the Old Testament. There's another piece where he talks about Jesus being resurrected, and he proclaims that. Where Jesus is both Lord and Messiah. And lastly, he has a call to repentance. So in the first place, as Peter is out and he's talking to the crowd, he reminds them, this Jewish crowd, of the prophecy of Joel. And so Peter explains this crazy phenomena that these people are witnessing. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day. Then he goes on to recite the prophecy of Joel concerning last days and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In verse 17 it says, "And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind." See, now that Jesus Christ has been made manifest at the end of times as he ascended into heaven, his followers now have no need to go back and look at the prophecies of the Old Testament as they talked about the Messiah, to search in the Scriptures for the Messiah. Why? Because Jesus was the Messiah. He was here. He walked this earth. He was sacrificed for our sins. All in the Old Testament prophecies. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. So what Peter is saying is these last days began with Christ's appearance on earth, and it's going to be consummated when he reappears. So that's what Joel's talking about in the last days. And so his words, probably thinking maybe back to Moses. In Numbers chapter 11, Moses says, "Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them." Prophecy of Joel declares in the last days that it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, considering what we know about Peter before all this, I mean, to me, it's pretty amazing that he now stands up in front of this huge crowd and begins to deliver a message, pulling stuff from the Old Testament out of memory. I mean, it was just a chance thing. I mean, did he just kind of read this in the last synagogue session or last thing they went through in the temple? I don't think so. This is by the power of the Holy Spirit reminding him and showing him what to say and speak. And so he picked out this perfect passage to deliver a message of salvation to the Jewish crowd. This is an awesome sermon. Next, Peter declares then the death and resurrection of Jesus. He says, Jesus the Nazarene is a man attested to you by God. You saw all his miracles. I mean, you were here. Some of you were here. You saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. You saw him feed 5,000 people. You were witnesses of that. And yet, he was delivered over. And he was nailed to the cross. And he was put to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it's impossible for him to be held in its power, verse 24 says. So in three short verses, Peter kind of sums up God's plan and work of Christ. And he uses the prophetic words of Psalm 16. He says, my flesh will also live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. Speaking of this Messiah, once again, using the Old Testament to confirm to the Jewish crowd who Jesus really was. See, the salvation spoken of in Joel is focused on the work of Christ and his victory over death. The salvation spoken of in the Psalms point to new life. See, unless we abide by that as Christians, unless we understand that, unless we know this new life that we have by belief and faith in Jesus Christ, it has to be something deep in your heart. And you need to confess it with authenticity, not just words in your mouth. See, that's what Peter is trying to get to with this Jewish crowd. And so he explains then this prophecy of David in Psalm 16, that Jesus is indeed the Lord and Messiah. He explains that the grave could not hold a Messiah. He looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, and he was neither abandoned to Hades, to the grave, to the underworld, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. We've seen him. We met with him. We ate with him. We talked with him since he rose from the dead in those 40 days that he continued to walk the earth. And he explains this prophecy. And he shows Jesus as its fulfillment, exalted and poured out to these witnesses. Jesus exalted and poured out in your life as well. You know, Peter, in this speech, begins to lay out this understanding to those who would listen. Look back into your Old Testament. See who this man really is. And you will see that he needed to be the last sacrifice for sins. That he would rise again. And that he would ascend to the throne of God. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. You see, when we look at the Gospels and we look at the life of Peter, he often doesn't understand what's going on. He often doesn't understand the directions that Jesus is taking. You know, if Jesus wants to go right, he wants to go left. If Jesus wants to go down this way, he wants to go back that way. He doesn't understand the whole plan and scope the walk of Christ. And when you see him deliver this sermon, you're thinking, what caused that? How could this man do that? By the power of the Holy Spirit. See, you need to, beloved, you need to understand the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you had the temple. And the temple for the Jews was the place of the symbolic residence of God. And once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. It was separated by a giant curtain. He would slip in behind there to pour the blood of the goats onto the mercy seat. And so when Jesus died on the cross, what happened to the curtain that separated where God's presence actually was to the rest of the people? What happened? It was ripped in two. It was symbolic that now you, everyday people, can have this interaction with God. And through the resurrection of Jesus, there is new life in every individual who accepts Christ as Lord and Savior. New life. And now God resides in your heart, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit then has then rendered the temple and the curtain separated to ordinary men and women from the presence of God as obsolete. No longer needed. Because the purpose has finally been fulfilled. This was the message to that Jewish crowd. And so Peter says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, that is Jesus, both Lord and Christ. Yes, this Jesus whom you crucified. And Peter then brings them to this conviction. Well, you could say that the Holy Spirit is bringing them to a conviction. This Jesus whom you crucified. And so finally, as the crowd is convicted, Peter pronounces a call to repentance. Now, when the crowd heard this, it says in verse 37 that they were pierced to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? They were convicted. They knew that they needed someone to save them. And I can't help when Peter is talking about this, that he's thinking about that time when Jesus was walking on the water. And Peter said, Lord, can I come to you? And he says, come. And he starts walking on the water and he sinks. And he lifts up his hand and he cries out, Lord, save me. And what does Jesus do? Reaches out, grabs his hand. And so Peter said to them, repent. And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the solution is simple. Turn from your worldly, autonomous ways. That's what repent means. And as a public profession, then, of your inward confession, be baptized as you profess your newfound faith in the one and only Savior of souls. And your sins are forgiven. Not only that, but you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, a sign of your faith in Christ and your bonding to Christ in unity, and your bonding to the body of Christ, the church. So he finishes in verse 41. So then those who had received this word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. The Holy Spirit comes upon and in Jesus' disciples with miraculous power. Peter delivers deep theology in the first sermon of the gospel message of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The first sermon of good news to 3,000 visiting Jews on Pentecost. And the church was birthed. In the power of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, that's why we're sitting here today. Amen? Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, it's quite a miracle to think about what had occurred 2,000 years ago. That as we look at Peter's walk, we find our own oftentimes. That as we look at what Peter has done and thought and felt, that we see that in ourselves. There's a tension of doing what is right and knowing what is wrong. There's a tension of doing what is wrong and knowing what is right, Lord. And that is our walk. But what we have is the power of the Holy Spirit, just like Peter had. And because of that power, your church is here today, 2,000 years later, all over the world. It's quite miraculous, Lord. Thank you for that. And as we prepare our hearts to remember all of this theology, the one thing that we know is that Jesus suffered and died. He was nailed on the cross for our sins, not his. He was the ultimate and only sacrifice. Lord, we thank you so much. And we thank you again that you rose to new life. the same way you give us that new life. And we thank you that when you ascended to heaven, you didn't leave us. You gave us the Holy Spirit. So because we are clothed in the robes of Jesus Christ, we are able to come before you perfect.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Christ Jesus. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.